The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Let's Get Dressed. It's your host, Liv Perez. Hope you're all having a great start to your week. Happy Monday. As a lot of you know, I am in the deep midst of wedding planning, which has been quite the experience. If any of you listening right now have gotten married or in the midst of planning a wedding, please shoot me a DM and let me know how you were able to manage planning a wedding that honestly feels like a full-time job in and of itself, on top of your probably already full-time job and actual life. It has been insane. And one of the things that I have been told that I'm just kind of holding on to is that wedding planning comes in waves. 2 weeks will be absolute mayhem. You will be doing wedding stuff nonstop. You will forget what the rest of the world looks like. And then 2 weeks, you'll hear nothing about your wedding and you'll be like a normal, sane human being. And then once again, it will come back and then you'll be normal again. So I'm hopeful that those waves actually happen for me because the past few weeks have been so hectic. But I will say, I've been having so much fun. In case you guys don't know, I'm getting married in July. We're doing a destination wedding, so it will be a really fun weekend. I'm so excited to have all of my friends there for the weekend. And I've always wanted to do a destination wedding because I feel like that weekend is like everyone's present. They're there. They've made the time and effort to be in that one space with you. I feel so grateful and so lucky to be able to do that. And I'm just truly so excited. And I've been like in the tiny details of it all. Like I'm planning the gift bags. I'm planning like every moment of food and like the tablescapes and the music and the lighting. There is so much that goes into planning a wedding. I never really realized how much it really goes into making a perfect night. So kudos to all of you who have done it. If you have any tips for me, please shoot me a DM. I can take all the advice I can get at the moment. I really wanted to do today's episode, one, to kind of give you guys an update of where I'm at with the wedding. I've been sharing so much content around it, whether it's trying on things or really great tips that have helped me as a 2024 bride, and also share a creator with you who has been so helpful for me in this process because I know she will be equally as helpful for you guys. I mention it later in the episode, but I think if I was to pull out one piece of advice from my last 6 months of wedding planning, I think I would say one thing, which is that when you get engaged and when you pick your venue and, you know, the ball gets rolling, it's all really exciting. And it's really easy to kind of get ahead of yourself and want to check the boxes of like booking every single thing and making sure that that's done so you can like move on to the heavier items. I was really that way because I'm a list girl. So I love checking things off. I love getting them done. I love moving on. And I think that that mentality really does not serve you when it comes to weddings. There were a lot of things that I booked early on in the beginning and like put a deposit down that now being 4 months out, I'm like, okay, did we need that exact thing? Was that the exact person that I wanted for the job? When you go into planning a wedding, it's like a 12 to 16 month process, which means that some things that you book between like month 16 to month 12, around month six, you with like 6 months left to your wedding, you might be like, wait, I wanted that a year ago and I don't want it now. So that's really common. All of these things, these big decisions that you're making so far in advance can really be those things that kind of creep into your thoughts as you're like getting into bed every night. Again, this is a huge moment in your life. So it's so normal to kind of have those like second thoughts of things that you're booking because you want everything to be perfect. I think that's so normal. I've had it with so many things. And then, you know, I spiral and I wake up the next morning and I'm like, everything's fine. It's exactly as it should be. Like everything's going to be great. But I do wish that someone told me earlier in the beginning to just take it a little bit slower. Take a deep breath. You don't need to book that thing immediately. Have a lot of conversations with different people. Email 10 different vendors for every single thing that you need. Get a variety of quotes. Get a variety of aesthetics and ideas. Get on the phone with every person and really make sure you vibe with that person. I think I was really set on things that I thought I wanted and kind of wish I did a little bit more research instead of just being like eager beaver on booking the thing. Again, gonna reiterate, I'm really happy with everything I booked, but I do wish that I took a little bit more time and wasn't as like frantic to get the thing done. And a really good follow-up tip to that, sit down with your partner as you're planning and make a calendar. We started 16 months out and something that I did was actually build a really big calendar of like, okay, when does this need to be booked by? When do we need to start doing this? And I think that's crucial when you're that far out to understand like what your upcoming responsibilities will be. With 4 months to go, I've actually like reassessed our entire calendar and done things as detailed as like, okay, when does Alex need to hit the tailor for his suit? When do I need to hit the tailor? When do I need to submit this payment? When does this thing need to go out? So it's really good to have that level of detail. It's been so helpful for me in this process. As you can tell, I'm a psycho planner. So if you are listening and you are also that way, and you probably deeply resonate with what I'm saying. For the people who are not as neurotic planners as I am, I cannot recommend this enough. Try to be as organized as you can with this. It really made things easier for Alex and I. I will say overall, our planning process has been so smooth. And that's because, again, we did start 16 months out. I have friends right now who like got engaged top of the year and have weddings like in the fall, and they are like cramming it in. And, you know, a lot of these vendors book up so fast. So highly recommend giving yourself a lot of time, a lot of space to explore all the things you want to explore. Talk to every vendor that you want to and have a plan with your partner so that you're organized and in sync. And honestly, it's enjoyable. Like, I know I opened up this episode saying like, I am stressed right now because I am, but that's just the reality of wedding planning. It can't always be easy breezy. Some weeks are going to be crazier than others. I feel like anytime I talk to friends who are deep in wedding planning, they're like, oh my God, things are crazy. And I don't want to impart that onto you guys because I hated when my friends imparted it onto me. Like, oh, don't plan a wedding. You should elope. Like, I hated hearing that because I was so excited about my own wedding. So I'm here to tell you guys that it can be an incredible process if you plan correctly. I've honestly been having such a great time and truly can't wait. If you follow me on Instagram, you know that last August I was in Paris for my first wedding dress fitting, and however many months later, and almost, what, 8 or 9 months later, I'm so happy to share that I have my dress. I'm so excited about it. I really was intentional about who I wanted to work with on it and that the story felt sentimental to me and my fashion journey and, you know, the inner bride in me as a young girl. So I'm incredibly excited for you guys to see it. We did a podcast episode last year about the best things that I learned from going and trying on a wedding dress for the first time. If you missed that episode, it's earlier on the feed. I think it was around October, November that we released that. And if you haven't gone to try on dresses yet and that's like coming up, I highly recommend listening to that episode because I give a lot of tips on like how to show up, how to look your best so that you can really like visualize the dress, who to bring with you, what to bring with you. And I cover pretty much all the ground there. So make sure you go listen to that. It was something I wish I had when I went. So I'm really happy to be able to share and impart all that wisdom onto you guys. And since that is out of the way, I've been able to focus on all the other moments during the wedding that I can't wait to bring to life. And as a fashion lover, as someone who loves to get dressed up, I think what's been really fun for me is kind of finding this balance between things that are classic that I can look back on in, say, decades to come and say, okay, that still feels like bridal and beautiful, but also like really felt like me and something that was fun and different and not just like your quintessential bridal moment. So that's where I'm at, currently working on, you know, a look for my rehearsal dinner and something I'm going to change into. And it's been really fun to find new designers and bridal content creators out there that have kind of pointed me in the right direction. I'm sure, as you guys can imagine, my entire For You page and like newsfeed on Instagram is just bridal, 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 bridal. But there is one account that has really like kind of outshone all the rest for me and have kind of cut through the noise. And that's an account called Little White Looks. She's on TikTok and Instagram. It was started by an incredible creator, Caroline Goldberg. She's based in Houston, Texas. And she actually got married a few years back and had a really hard time finding great things. It felt like an abyss. And I felt that way too when I set out on this experience. So I really resonated with her account because she is constantly uploading incredible edits. Every day she's looking through new bridal arrivals, things that have gone on sale, things that have come back in stock. And she basically puts together curations of the best out there in bridal, dresses for mother of the bride, dresses for your bridesmaids, dresses for your friends, wedding guests, all the things. And I love her edits. Every dress is so good and so spot on that I have sent so many of her videos to so many of my people for the wedding, and they found so many pieces that they love. So I'm so excited to have her on the podcast today. We talk all about her personal experience, obviously getting married and finding her dream dress. We also talk about some of the coolest bridal designers out there today that she is finding and sharing with her community so many great custom moments that I can't wait to look up and potentially dive into after she recommended them. She truly is a wealth of knowledge. We also talk about dress regret and, you know, maybe diving into something that you thought you wanted, you didn't want, and how to handle that if that does happen to you. Such a good conversation and something I don't think we talk about a lot. It actually happened to my sister with her own wedding where she bought this dress and then fully for 2 weeks was like on a mission to return it and get this other one. She ended up keeping her original dress, but I think it happens way more than we think. And so I love that we had that conversation on like how to handle it and what to do if it does happen to you. And of course, we talk about how to prepare to go on the hunt to find your dream dress. You guys have to follow her. She does certain days where she'll post wedding dresses for sale and sell them within her community. She also offers personal wedding styling. So if you are looking, hit her up because she is so good. And I know I'm in the middle of my journey, so I have much to learn. But if there are any fellow brides listening who are in the midst of this process and want advice, my DMs are always open and I'm happy to share whatever advice I can give from my experience. I'm no pro, but I think one of the biggest blessings and most helpful things in this process has actually been the people in my life who are also getting married this year. And like the multiple group chats that I have of everyone just asking each other the most like vulnerable questions. Like, hey, how much should I be paying for this? Like, nobody really knows. Or like, does someone want to come with me to like try on this dress? Cause I only have this like one window and I don't want to make it a thing. Like those conversations have been so helpful for me. So I am here for you guys as well. I know you guys are gonna love this conversation. Let's dive in. How are you? Thank you so much for doing this.
I'm so excited to be here.
You have been truly someone who I feel like has helped my bridal situation, my mom's, my sister's. Like, I'm just such a big fan of everything you're working on.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I mean, that's truly why I made the account in the beginning, was to help busy brides, busy moms, and people who are going to weddings and wedding guests, because it's a whole full-time job trying to shop for that stuff.
I want you to share with the listeners right now everything that, you know, if they're going to their platform, what they can expect to see.
So what you can expect to see, I would say go to my Instagram first. That's kind of my home and where I first started. So most of what I do day to day is on my stories. So if you watch my stories, that's where you're getting the best benefit. And in the morning, I'll share new arrivals. I call it my morning coffee and newspaper. I will go on all of the websites. I see what is new, what's back in stock, who's having a sale, and I will just share it. I will share all budgets. I'll share something that's $30, something that's $3,000, because I really want to accommodate as many people as possible. And then it depends on the day a little bit. I like to somewhat go with the flow of what you guys want. I can kind of tell what people are itching for, whether it's bachelorette or reception, just depending on the time of the year. I love to share DM reviews. So girls will send me in photos of them in the dress and say, hey, this is really good if you are tall and you have a big chest. And I'll cover their face and keep it super private, but it's so helpful for other brides because they're like, thank you. I am 6 feet tall and I cannot find a mini dress that works. So I love to share that. I'll do something called the hotline. So you can send in your request, tell me your budget, where your wedding is, what you're looking for, and I'll post a bunch of things that I think could work. So that's kind of what I do on my stories. And then you can also hire me privately for a private styling. I only take on a certain number at a time because I want it to be really high quality and really well done while also keeping up with the socials. And so sort of two things that you can get from me.
I want to hear a little bit about your experience as a bride, because I'm sure that informed so much of what you're doing today. What was your experience going out and finding your dress? And if you could share also like kind of the format of your wedding in case you needed multiple dresses, just so we can get an understanding of what inspired this.
So I'll say overall, my experience wasn't great, which is why I started Little White Looks. So starting off with the wedding dress, I did everything wrong. And it's okay. I'm here to tell the tale so I can share all of my tips. So this is early 2021. So I was a nurse working in COVID. It was a super emotional time for me, very stressful. I wasn't able to see my family very much. We finally got our vaccines. My grandparents finally got our vaccines. So I was able to finally see family because I was very, very scared to get. I was working with kids with cancer and blood disorders. So I was truly terrified to get these kids sick. So finally was able to sort of step out, get into the wedding planning. So we go dress shopping, just my mom and my grandma. You could only bring two people, which was great. I didn't want a ton of people. I knew that was important. Tried on a few dresses. I found one that I loved. It was beautiful. It had this, I wish I remembered the name of it, this corset top with this floral applique. It was gorgeous. It wasn't poofy, but it had some volume, which was, I was like, okay, definitely feel like a bride in this dress. And my grandma loved it. I mean, she loved it. And I was like, this is it. Grandma loves it. I love it. We're done. And I was in the stage of wedding planning where I was just ready to get decisions done. Like, okay, the catering done, photographer done. Let's just start knocking stuff off the list because the list is huge. Great. I left the appointment. No second thoughts. I would like look at my dress sometimes at night and photos. And I was like, oh, but this is great. I got it. Tried it on. Something felt a little off. It was so poofy. And I was like, this feels weird. What happened was when you try on your dress, they clip you and they clipped me all the way down to my ankles. So the dress had a nice little poof of volume, but it was not princess poofy. And then when I got the dress in, it was princess poofy. But I didn't panic. I'm really not one to panic. I'm like super problem solver. So I'm like, no problem. The dress was under my budget. I was like, great. I have money to get some alterations done. I went, took it into alterations. And she was like, how much do you love this dress? Because we are going to have to take the skirt off. We are going to have to remove like so much volume, rework a ton of stuff. And kind of at that point, after I tried on the dress and I didn't have that moment that was like, here's my dress, I got wandering eyes and I was on Instagram. I was kind of peeking at other dresses and I just had this gut feeling. And I was like, this is not my dress. This is not my dress. I had enough time. It was October and my wedding was in May. So I had enough time, like just enough time that it was like, if I'm going to look for a new dress, I need to do it now. So I just had to trust my gut. I told my mom, I didn't really tell anyone else. And the best thing I ever did was I went to some local places and I went by myself for my second, for dress shopping again. So I sold the first dress, went by myself, went like four or five times. I highly, highly recommend if you can sneak off maybe on a Tuesday on your lunch break, go shopping by yourself if you can. For all the brides out there, just get a feel for what you want. Just you by yourself. I didn't send any photos to friends. I didn't send photos to my mom. I did eventually. Like once we sort of narrowed it down, my mom did come out and we did the whole thing, but it was just my mom and I. And I think that was so good because I could truly listen to myself and my thoughts and what I really wanted. So then I got the second dress, everything worked out, but that is my tale to tell. Like just slow your roll. I was so ready to make that decision and move on to the next thing. Pump the brakes a little bit.
More on this soon, but want to take a quick break to shout out one of our sponsors of today's episode, Factor. The past few months have been very hectic for me. I feel like I've been on the go nonstop. International fashion weeks, getting ready for the wedding, and so many other things. It can be really challenging sometimes for me to eat right while I'm on the go. And eating better has become so easy for me because of Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every meal is fresh and never frozen and is chef-crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Plus, if you are someone who maybe is a picky eater, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. You can get started today and get after your goals really quickly. As an entrepreneur and someone who's always on the go, there are certain parts about Factor that really make it so easy for me, especially the fact that they make it so flexible for my schedule. I can get as much as I need or as little as I need by choosing my meals every week. Plus, if I'm traveling, I can pause or reschedule their deliveries at any time. And I think the best part, it's a 2-minute meal. You can fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. So if I have an event and I'm on the go, it's been so helpful for me to have something to eat that is super healthy and nutritious to keep me going all day. Head to factormeals.com/LGD50 and use code LGD50 to get 50% off. That's code LGD50 at factormeals.com/LGD50 to get 50% off. I can't tell you how much I resonate with that for so many things under the wedding umbrella, from photographer to dress choice, so many things that I was really eager beaver to like nail down in the beginning. And I think there's two kinds of brides. I think either you're a bride who has had a vision board and you know exactly what you want.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, all the power to you. Make those choices, make them fast. You know what you want. I was never really like a mood board bride going into it. I was literally like jumping into an abyss. Like I'd never tried on a wedding dress, had never visualized myself in one. didn't really know what like I wanted my colors to be. Like there are so many things that I think feel almost like you kind of have to do them. And this rings true with what you just said about, you know, going with a bunch of friends or, you know, a bunch of family members. I feel like that's something that we're told we need to do. My biggest lesson so far, being a year, almost 8 to 12 months into planning a wedding, has been make a list of all the things that feel like things you quote unquote need to do and make them your own. That's really where I've kind of struggled or like made the biggest mistakes, is feeling like I need to do something and it wasn't actually what served me.
You need to just cut the noise. I think there is something so cool looking back now, like literally not telling anyone what your dress looks like maybe your mom and like your mother-in-law, but like, let it be a surprise.
The amount of people asking me.
I started showing coworkers and I was like, why am I doing this?
Why am I doing this?
You're getting a reaction. Who cares what they think? They're not even coming to your wedding. Like, you know, it doesn't matter what other people think. And so don't even show them. Like, show your best friend and your mom and let it be a surprise.
So what did you do for your after part? Like, did you change?
Oh, I did change. I'm so glad I did that because we got married. It was sort of in a, well, it was a college town. It's where I went to school, but also grew up. So we were going to bars after. So I did change, which I'm really glad I did. I definitely recommend not changing too early. Wear your dress kind of as long as you can. I had my wedding planner. I can't remember the exact time, but maybe it was an hour before the end of the night. She sort of tapped my shoulder and I just went and changed. I think it was really fun. I know brides kind of debate it. And I think it just depends on your evening. What do you foresee? Do you foresee yourself going out to college local bars? You might want to change. It's okay if you get your wedding dress dirty. There's nothing wrong with that, but you might just feel a little bit uncomfortable. But, or if you're just doing your wedding night, like you're not going out after, you could just wear your dress the whole time. So it really just depends what your night looks like. And I also tell brides, if you don't find the second dress, don't force it. So it has to be it. You want it to feel like a second wedding dress. You want to feel amazing in it and you want it to feel like a wow special moment. So if you are searching and searching and searching, you can't find it, just wear your wedding dress. It's the best dress you're going to wear all day. Wear it the whole night.
So I want to hear for people listening right now who maybe are just starting and are like, okay, where do I even begin? As someone who's constantly on the hunt, how do you recommend someone begins to even find their wedding aesthetic and those moments that they want to include in the weekend?
I don't think you need to try and stick too much to a plan. I really just think when you see something, you're going to know. I'm such a believer in your gut feeling. And it's great to go on Pinterest and do some deep dives, but don't try and force it too much. If you are really stuck on something and it's just not working, you order things and something's not working, pivot, do something else. And I don't think you need to get stuck on a plan too early. Kind of back to the wedding dress thing. Since you have to pick your wedding dress so early, try not to get too caught up in the other looks until a little bit closer till. I know brides that are sometimes like looking at the rehearsal dinner dress maybe a year in advance. And I kindly suggest maybe 3 to 4 months out because your vision will change. You might change your florals. You might change your tablescape a little bit or how that night looks. So just don't do it too early and just don't force it. When you see it, you're going to know. And always go for something that feels really flattering and looks really good on you over something super trendy that's really in right now. Because at the end of the day, you are going to want to feel good. Then you're going to look good and you are going to have a great night because of that. Regardless of what's trendy, what's popular right now, you're just going to feel amazing. And that's more important to go with that.
That's been my experience so far. I'm 4 months out from my wedding and I just started looking now because I knew that anything I was looking at before, I would 100% get sick of. Like it's going to sit in my closet. I'm going to see it every day. And I'm just, I know myself too well. And I think something I'm trying to focus on and something that I have spoken to a lot of my friends who are brides about is that challenge of going out there shopping for bridal things. And if you are a bride like me, for example, who's getting married in the middle of July, I am very cognizant of going to a place like a bridal shop, for example, and getting something that I know a lot of other brides will have and will wear starting in May. So by the time July rolls around, I could have seen it already and have gotten really sick of it. What's your advice for kind of sifting through that?
There are some popular second dresses that are amazing. But for some of my fall, late summer brides, I think you're going to be sick of it. And my advice is use that as inspiration. Keep your eyes out. Definitely don't buy anything too early. For someone who really wants something unique, look for vintage if you can. A little bit harder to do. It definitely takes more time. But if you can find a vintage piece, you know that no one else will have it. It will be really special and really unique to you. And then just keeping your eyes peeled for unique designers. It's something I'm trying to do every day too, because while Revolve, Shopup, all those places are great because they're super easy to order from and there are a lot of options. Those are great websites. It's where I purchase most of my clothes. But maybe for a really special welcome party look, you want to look somewhere else. So I definitely try and share as many unique designers as I can and up and coming designers so you can get that unique but really special look.
I'm actually curious on the vintage note. I feel like that has become the thing.
Yeah, like it's going to be really popular.
From like red carpet to weddings, like I feel like archival pieces are at the forefront of any type of special moment right now. I've gone to Happy Isles in LA and absolutely beautiful. My mom actually got the dress that she's walking me down the aisle in. Stunning. The New York one I heard is even better. So pop over there. And then also in LA, Tab Vintage is based in Burbank. And I've had a lot of friends go and say it was amazing. I haven't been yet, but I'm obsessed with their selection. Definitely on the pricier side, but there are some pieces on there that you can find that are like the lower end that are maybe like great accessories for the weekend or something that's like not the main moment. What about you? Any recommendations?
I would say Happy Isles is big. Cha Cha Vintage is also in New York. I don't know if they're in LA or not.
I haven't heard of that.
Those are my two favorites. Yeah. And you can even reach out to them. Like I've done this being like, okay, I have a bride who is getting married this summer and we really want to go for a vintage bag, you know, put that on their radar and they will work with you to help you find something if you don't live in those cities.
You brought up that you are always on the hunt for kind of new emerging designers to share with your audience. And I wonder if there is one right now that is catching your attention. Doesn't have to be new or emerging, but someone that you just think is making really great quality pieces for a wedding.
Yeah. So I can't just name one. That's too hard. Some of my favorites are Lacia Berry. Okay. She's out of New York and has some amazing bridal and non-bridal, so just wedding or event pieces. But I have some of my brides working with her for this summer, which is really exciting. Alexandra Pijat is amazing as well. And you can find her pieces on Over the Moon. Most of them are made to order. They are a bit pricier, but stunning. I mean, they are truly.
I just discovered this designer like literally 4 days ago. I'd never heard of her. And I like went on her Instagram and it seems like she's like a growing emerging brand, but her pieces, like her after party pieces are so cute.
They're beautiful. I also really love Australian designers. They make some amazing stuff at a really, really good price. There's this brand called Ashton Bridal and some of her second dress pieces, they're really well made under $1,000. And I honestly think if one of those dresses was on Revolve or Sex, they would price it at like $3,000-$4,000. That's how beautiful these pieces. And the prices are really good. So you have to have a little bit of trust and faith in the process because you are ordering something from Australia. But I work a lot with Australian designers or just stores in general. I order from there because they just have really cool, cute stuff at a really good price.
There was one the other day that I found. I'm going on my Instagram right now because I followed her. Priya, P-R-E-A, James underscore bridal. And I hadn't seen a lot of her stuff before, but so beautiful. Very in line with a lot of what I wanted to do. And it's fun. I mean, my entire explore page for all my fellow brides out there, I don't know if this is happening to you. My entire explore page is bridal.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It takes over. And it doesn't go away. That's what's so funny. It's after your wedding. You're still getting
after my wedding. So it's bridal. Literally everybody.
Yep.
Take a look.
This is why dress regret is so real because you buy your wedding dress and then you go on your phone and you're like, well, shoot. it's so hard.
Like, let's talk about dress regret because I don't have any. I'm really happy with like my choice. And I also feel like my job specifically, like I get to wear a lot of great dresses. So I know like, I'm like, okay, I'm saving that inspiration for something else. But there have been moments like when I was making the decision around my dress, where I was going online and being like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I remember for my dress specifically, I'm going to share as much as I can without giving too much away. I worked with a designer who I love and have worked with for a really long time. And it's so different than what I set out to do. 180. 180. Like, I thought I was going to go for something that maybe felt a little bit more sleek. And it ended up landing on this, like, truly, like, quintessential bridal moment. I love it so much, and I'm so excited about it. And I really leaned into this idea of I'm never going to do something like this ever again. Like, in my career, I will probably wear different iterations of wedding dresses in black. And for this moment, I really wanted to feel like it was something that I will never have the chance to wear again. But while I was picking it, I too had those moments where I was scrolling Instagram being like, should I be wearing that? I actually like had a panicked moment because like 6 months ago, I saw a friend of mine get married and she looked so beautiful, but her dress was really similar to like my original ideation. And you guys, I spiraled. Full spiral, like randomly was like jet lagged because I was somewhere and I saw it and I was like up on the internet at like 4 a.m, just like in a bridal spiral. I came out of it. We're fine. But I would love to have a discussion about that, about like how, if you are having that, especially in the age of Instagram where we feel like we have access and visibility on anything, how do we like make that decision and have conviction in the decision?
It's just, it's so real, especially in the place where you don't have the dress in your hands. I remember when I got my second dress, I would still have those fleeting thoughts, but thank God I could go in my closet and open up the bag. And I was like, okay, we are good. We are good. But it is so, so hard when you do not have that dress in your hands. And I'm telling you, my husband would fall asleep, or my fiance at the time. And I'd be like, okay, now I can look. And I would go look at photos of me in the dress. And I'd be like, okay. So my advice is, well, one is try and go slow through the process just so you can really feel confident in that choice. But once you feel confident in that choice and you're like, okay, this is the dress, take tons of photos, get videos of you in your dress. I loved my mom took a video of like a 360 of me in my dress. And I watched that probably a million times until that dress was in my hands. So take videos of it just so whenever, because it's inevitable, you will see those other dresses. There's almost no advice. Like, they're going to pop up on Instagram. They know that you're a bride. So it's just going to happen. Go look at that video and just watch it and try not to stress until you have the dress in your hands.
I'm like being a little introspective right now, thinking about my own experience. And I did an episode about 6 months ago that was like, here are my tips if you're going wedding dress shopping for the first time. And one of the biggest tips that I gave was make a mood board, so you have an idea of the things that you like.
Yeah.
And I feel like 6 months later, I actually might take that back, because I feel like it became like a limiting belief in my brain of the thing I needed to do versus like kind of going in open-minded and trying everything on and just finding the thing that looks best. I think for a while I was really hung up on the aesthetic of my mood board, and I would often go back on and reflect on it when I would like have any doubts about my dress. And I feel like maybe I take it back. Maybe don't make the mood board.
I think people get really attached to a mood board and an aesthetic, and I get it. Like, those are really cool and you want to have a certain vibe to your wedding. But I think like, be your own mood board, be your own aesthetic, pull things from different places because you genuinely love them. And maybe you were going for that effortless, chic, sleek look, but you find an insane beaded dress that fits you in all the right places and is a true showstopper. Do it. You have to do it. Like, you can't ignore that sign that that is your dress. Everything else will work itself out and you will create your own vision and vibe and aesthetic. And I think that is way cooler than copying something online.
That hit. I loved it. I'm curious, is there a piece out there in the bridal world right now that has like demanded your attention? You're thinking about it nonstop.
There's so many. I think one that I think about often is Oscar de la Renta. It's this white mini with cap sleeves, floral applique, a little scoop/square neck. I think it's the dress that I was like, that's my after party dress. Like, that's what I would wear. It's just complete floral applique. I mean, it's truly a piece of art. I think if I were ever so lucky that that was my second look, I would frame it in my closet. It's so beautiful.
I actually saw on your TikTok the other day, Solace London's new collection. And as someone, again, who has seven sisters and a mother of the bride and a mother of the groom who's all looking for things, I actually was like blown away scrolling their website. I was like, oh, I should be sending this to every person who's going to be in a wedding this summer, because there is something for everyone here. I really loved that blue gown that you posted for Mother of the Brides that had Guys, it was like a beautiful sky blue silk down to the floor, and then had this like amazing cape that went over the shoulders and like draped down the sides. And I haven't stopped thinking about it because I'm like, oh, that's such a beautiful dress for anyone who's going to be in a wedding.
And I think if you are
white,
it does.
Yes, it comes in white.
Oh, wow. Hold the phone, everyone.
She's rethinking everything. She's like, oh, God.
And I'm like, okay.
And to me, that dress, and this is why I love Sol London. They're one of my, like, whenever they have something come out, I'm super excited because I just know their pieces are high quality. I think the price is really good.
Really good. Yeah.
You're getting me this cape dress that she's describing. You could have told me it wasn't a really high-end designer. And I'd be like, okay, sure. No, I think it's $1,000 or under, which is a great price point.
It's $750
or for a wedding look. It's one of my favorite brands.
It's so good. I can't recommend it enough if you're looking for my wedding's black tie. And I feel like if you're going to a black tie wedding, Solace London is your go-to.
They're beautiful. And they're not trendy. You can wear it for years and years. Good stuff.
Really classic. What about bridal accessories? Any brands that you love that are always kind of top of mind for you?
Yeah. So for bags, I love the brand, the Bella Rosa. It's a really smaller, I mean, not that small, but a smaller brand with custom bags that you can add in a little plaque where you can add in a note or
that's so cute.
Something really special. So those bags are really special. They're definitely an investment, but it's a forever bag, something that you would have in your closet and, you know, maybe pass down to a daughter one day. I really love the idea of renting bridal jewelry in bags, because as we know, you spend all the money on the outfit and the shoes, and then you're like, oh yeah, I still need the rest of my outfit. So Verstolo is amazing for high-end diamond rentals. I have a lot of brides using them for renting earrings and a veil.
Great to know.
Rent bags and jewelry. So they have like some really high-end bags and then some that are real better for like your bachelorette, something Staud or, you know, a little bit cheaper that you can easily bring on honeymoon, bachelor, anything like that. So Miss Chaplin, you have to find her on Instagram. She doesn't even have a website. She will make these amazing custom book clutches for you. So it looks like a book, but it's a clutch. You guys may have seen something similar out there, but she'll put in your wedding details, a crest, any floral. She'll add in details from your invitation. They are beautiful. I will warn you, she books out really far in advance. So right now she's taking September clients, but that just shows you how special and beautiful these bags are. And then the brand NLA Collection, really cute silk bags. So just really simple. They have a little knot and they're really well priced. And I love that. In champagne, and they're just super cute, really simple, but they look very, very nice. And they are super nice. They're really well made. They're really cute. We love her.
Love that. Love that.
As we're about to enter bridal season, I want to hear from you. I know we talked about archival being something that I feel like we're going to see a lot of vintage pieces. Is there anything else for you that is coming to mind that you think we're going to see a lot of in the upcoming wedding season?
Lots of sheer layering. So you probably have maybe seen this a bit. So you've got a mini dress, a really nice structured mini dress with a sheer skirt underneath, which is so beautiful to me. It's so romantic. It's so fun. It'll be really fun on the dance floor at a welcome event. So I'm absolutely loving sheer layering anywhere I see it. I think bridal capes are really cool, a great way to make a statement. Bernadette dropped one that is so beautiful. It has a little bit of pink and green in there, very floral. So you could just do a simple dress, whatever color you wanted, and then add this insane cape to it for just a wow look. I think instead of fringe and feathers for reception, we're going to see more intricate beading, and beading that really tells a story and is almost art in a way. So you guys probably know the Cleo Pepiot beaded dress. She's iconic. She's beautiful. And we're going to see more of that for sure. And I think something special with her that you could do, if you maybe have seen that one dress a lot and you want something a little bit different, but you love the overall look of that dress, this does take a trip to London, but you can make it a whole thing. You can go to her store in London and she can create a custom dress for you and add in details from your wedding. So she could add in your initials, your wedding date, pick, you know, things from your venue, just a little thing of your dog, all beaded in there, really special and made into this really well done dress. It's not obvious in your face, like, you know, a beaded dog on the front, but she just does it in little corners of the dress. It's so beautiful. So I see a lot of that. And then color, I mean, color's not going anywhere. It's definitely not anything new, but I think brides are starting to feel more confident in just bringing in bold colors to their wedding looks.
Yeah, not wearing white the whole weekend. I think we're going to see a lot of that. It just feels different, fun. And I think weddings should be about wearing what you want. And if white's not your color, by all means.
Exactly. That goes back to, if you find this dress that is lime green, but it looks so amazing on you, you have
go
to
for it.
Have to do it. You do don't it. Just buy a white dress because that's what you should be doing. Look for the fit and something that feels amazing on you. It's way more important, and it's going to resonate into your evening. You are going to be more comfortable. You're going to dance more. You're not going to be fussing with your dress, and you are going to have a great night.
I love this conversation for all of the info. Hated it for my bank account. I'm so grateful for this conversation. Thank you so much for sharing all of your intel. You're such a resource to me, and I know so many people, and it was great to hear all of your insights, and you've made me so much more excited. So thank you.
Thank you. I mean, that means so much to me.
Thank you.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.